It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Those are the opening notes from Bruce Springsteen's song, Born in the USA, from the album of the same name released 40 years ago this month.
The track was one of seven singles from the 1984 album, which sold 30 million copies and catapulted Springsteen from stardom to superstardom.
Our next guest grew up listening to Born in the USA as a young kid in Wisconsin, and now he's written a book about it. He says the album not only changed rock music, but it struck a chord with American culture and politics in a way we haven't seen since.
Appleton native Stephen Hyden is a longtime music critic and the author of There Was Nothing You Could Do, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA and the End of the Heartland. I talked to Stephen last week. I asked him about the first time he heard Born in the USA and what he calls a big bang moment for him as a music critic.
Yeah, you know, I was 6 years old in the summer of 84 when that album came out. And, you know, I wasn't really aware of albums or artists, as it were. I, you know, listened to the radio, I watched MTV. But I found the cassette copy of Born in the USA in my dad's car. And there was something about the cover, you know, Bruce's behind on the cover, the American flag, all that stuff. Something about it just called out to me, and listened to the tape in the car. And the song Born in the USA on the record, it is such a slam bang of an opener for a record. It really hits you in the face. Just the sound of the drums, the synthesizer, Bruce's voice, everything in the package. And it was a really strong impression that left on me. It was not really the kind of music I was used to listening to on the radio, you know, Michael Jackson or Boy George or, you know, all the big pop stars of that time. And yet he was a part of that world. I mean, this was a huge record. Seven top 10 singles, went on to sell 30 million copies worldwide. It really was like a big moment. And it really became this record that, like, I've loved this album pretty much as long or longer than anything in my life. So that was definitely part of the impulse to want to write about it.
Set the stakes for this album. Bruce Springsteen, obviously already successful by that point, famous, legendary touring musician. He'd had hits before. But this, as you said, the pop success here crossed over in a way that a lot of people didn't. Talk about what it is, all the weight that came into this album.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with this album because this is the seventh Bruce Springsteen album. And it's not normal for the seventh album to be the big record. You know, it's usually like your first album or maybe the second. So there definitely was a slow build with Bruce. And as you said, he was already famous. He had had hits. Born to Run, that album came out almost a decade earlier. He was a big arena star. But I think there was an element to his career where his live draw was a little bit bigger than what his records were doing. His records did well, but I think he was more well known as a live performer, like one of the great live performers of his time. So with this record, Born in the USA, it really is an outlier in his career because Bruce Springsteen, you know, he's known for making great albums, but he wasn't necessarily someone who was having a ton of hit singles. You know, Born to Run was an FM radio hit, Hungry Heart from the River that ended up going top five back in 1980. But for the most part, it was about albums for Bruce, not individual songs, but this record really changed that for him. I mean, it's a record that is practically a greatest hits album. You know, like,
right, one after another came out then. Yeah,
exactly. And to this day, it has several of the most famous Bruce Springsteen songs. Like, for a casual listener, this is the Bruce that you're probably most familiar with.
Something that really stood out in reading and kind of reliving it through reading your book, Stephen, is, you know, Thriller by Michael Jackson was still topping the charts in 84. Purple Rain comes out then. Madonna's coming out. People aren't looking at those albums and saying, well, what does this tell us about America? But Bruce Springsteen, he was as likely to end up on what? Time and Newsweek and political magazines covers as he was Rolling Stone. It seemed like people were really bound up in saying, hey, this is saying something about America.
Right, exactly. I think, you know, I write this in the book that Bruce Springsteen in the mid-80s, he was something more than a rock star and something slightly less than like a political leader. You know, like, as you're saying, there was a seriousness with which he was treated as that album continued to turn out hit singles and the Born in the USA tour carried on, you know, going from arenas, going overseas and then coming back to America as this big stadium tour. You know, a lot of people, they read into that tour as almost a statement about America. You know, this was a time when you started to see a lot of the manufacturing jobs leaving the country. And I think that there was some anxiety about, you know, the American way, the American sort of capitalist way, the you know, us building these great products better than anyone else in the world. And a lot of people looked at Bruce Springsteen as sort of like the ultimate American product. You know, this guy works hard. He delivers night after night. You know, he's playing for 3 hours. And it was something that I think people felt encouraged by because they didn't see that type of excellence maybe in other parts of American life at the time.
All right. Now, the title song itself, Born in the USA, that got used in ways maybe that didn't match up well with the actual lyrics, right? The chorus, Born in the USA, great patriotic rally, made in America type stuff. Talk about the contrast between the verses and then how this ends up getting used.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a long history with the title track of people reading it in a way that doesn't exactly line up with what Bruce Springsteen intended. You know, if you look at the lyrics of that song, he's writing about this disaffected Vietnam veteran who comes back home and he's been rejected by his country. And there's a feeling of betrayal that courses through that song and anger and rage. But the music is very uplifting. It's anthemic. And as you say, the chorus, it demands almost that you shout along with it. And then you couple that with the fact that Bruce was playing the song live in front of an American flag. It isn't, I think, totally inexcusable that people maybe read it the wrong way, especially when you're in that arena or stadium environment. The nuances of a song like that, it's very easy to lose, you know, the subtleties, really. And people often don't pay attention to lyrics anyway. They only focus on the chorus and the music. And then you couple in the fact that you did have political actors, you know, the Reagan campaign that year, that were knowingly co-opting that song, which I think goes beyond the sort of like common person maybe getting the wrong idea. I think that there was an attempt in political circles to wrap, you know, an arm around Bruce Springsteen because he was such a popular star. And if you're trying to appeal to young people, this was an easy way to do it. Of course, Bruce isn't the only example of that. That's happened throughout the history of politics. But yeah, he definitely got caught up with that in the mid-80s.
And this all ties into a key concept in your book, the vision of a heartland created by Bruce Springsteen on this album, where he's acknowledging the pain that might come with factory closures in any Rust Belt community in New Jersey or here in Wisconsin. But there's a positive, a community, we can get through it together kind of feeling that you say has been kind of lost. Talk us through that concept.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when people talk about the heartland, they are talking about a couple different things. I mean, there is that literal heartland, middle of the country, and Wisconsin obviously is a part of that. And growing up in Wisconsin, you're very aware of that feeling, you know, at that time. So it's like a literal place. But in the book, I'm almost talking about it more as an idea. Mm-hmm. You know, this idea of America where no matter where you might fall politically or ideologically, that there are certain attributes that unite us, that, you know, we all have a need to feel part of a community. We all want to be taken care of. We want to feel like we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. You know, these ideas that are supposed to sort of ground us in an American identity that is unified. And if you can get past all the other stuff and get back to those core ideas, then maybe we have a chance to move forward. And it does feel a lot of times in the modern era that that idea of America being one place has been lost. And I think that's something that I'm wrestling with in the book, you know, and I think it's something that Bruce Springsteen wrestles with, that idea, that dream, that idealism versus the harshness of reality, you know, that comes into play. And, you know, how do you reconcile that? And that's a hard question to answer.
I think in the 80s, when this came out, that sentiment didn't feel naive necessarily. Looking back, you know, in 2024, with the vantage point of all the polarization, the divisiveness that's been attached to some of the communities that Springsteen is writing about. Does it feel naive now?
Sometimes it does, you know. But the thing is, you know, when I was writing this book, one of the things I learned about myself was that Bruce Springsteen isn't just like a singer-songwriter whose music I enjoy. I feel like he's someone who has shaped my view of the world and of my country because I was listening to his music so early on. And look, obviously when I'm 6 years old, I don't understand Vietnam or trickle-down economics or any of the, you know, serious themes of this record. I just liked it because it had loud drums and synthesizers and Bruce Springsteen's voice. But there is something subliminal, I think, that happens when you're exposed to something like that at a young age, where it didn't plant this idea of like what America should be. And the optimism that exists in Bruce Springsteen's music, I think, has rubbed off on me in ways sometimes that I kind of doubt my own optimism. Because when you look at the world, sometimes it's hard to be optimistic about that sort of thing. But I'm also not in a position where I want to give that up. You know, I still want to believe in that idea of America, even when you're confronted daily by evidence to the contrary.
We are talking to Wisconsin's own Stephen Hyden, longtime music critic. His new book is There Was Nothing You Could Do, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA and the End of the Heartland, 40th anniversary of that album. Let's get another taste of it now. This is the hit. This is Dancing in the Dark.
Messages keep getting clearer. Radio's on and I'm moving around the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face, and I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know.
This was the pop hit, Stephen. I'm a bit older than you. I turned 16 a couple years after, started playing in a bar cover band. From that album, that and Glory Days, I guess, were the two we could cover there. Give us the story behind the hit from Born in the USA.
Yeah, so that was a song that came very late in the process. The record was basically done, and Bruce Springsteen's manager, John Landau, looked at the record, and he felt like it needed one more song. You know, because the thing with this record was that it was really conceived to be the record that would push Bruce Springsteen over the top. What's the record that's going to take us from being this arena attraction to playing stadiums? And Landau felt like, just need one more song that's going to be a big hit, and that's going to take us to the promised land. And, you know, Bruce was very frustrated by this because he wrote so many songs during this period, many of which, you know, didn't come out until years later on a box set called Tracks that came out at the end of the 90s. But he had written so many songs, he felt like he was done. He had been working on this for years. So he very reluctantly and I think somewhat angrily wrote this song, Dancing in the Dark, which, as you say, it's a very poppy song. And if you've seen the music video, Bruce is smiling, dancing with Courtney Cox. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all joy and rainbows and everything. But if you look at the lyrics,
right,
it's a very bitter song.
I'm living in a dump.
Yeah, I'm living in a dump. I want to change my clothes, my hair, my face. I'm not satisfied where I am in life. And it really is like an example of like what happens throughout that record, where you have songs that are very appealing. You know, Glory Day is another example. You mentioned that people hear that song at baseball games and they think, oh, what a nice song about nostalgia. And then you dig deeper, look at the lyric sheet, and it's like he's talking about how depressing it is to end up on a bar stool and talking about how great your life used to be. You know, it's a song against nostalgia, not endorsing nostalgia. But, you know, that sort of like sad songs that sound happy formula, it just gets repeated throughout that record. And Bruce didn't invent that formula. Lots of songwriters have used that, but it's very effective. And he uses it, I think, better than most.
You write that Bruce Springsteen has no modern equivalent. And obviously there are big, huge stars who have sold as many as or more tracks than Bruce Springsteen, but maybe don't fit that role. What do you mean exactly by no modern equivalent?
I think there's no modern rock star that's like Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have enormous stars. You know, Taylor Swift is as big or bigger than any of those mid-80s pop stars from 40 years ago. But that's sort of like singer-songwriter who writes rock songs with a political edge. You don't really see that person in mainstream pop culture who is as successful as Bruce Springsteen was. You know, those types of artists tend to be operate on a much smaller scale, like a Jason Isbell, for instance. Great songwriter, but he's not selling 30 million records worldwide. Really, the closest thing I think to Bruce now would be artists that fall under the country umbrella, you know, like a Zach Bryan, for instance. You know, he's playing stadiums. He recently performed with Bruce at a concert. I think it was in New York. But even he, you know, he's not writing about political issues in the same way that Bruce was. You know, it really is, I think, a unique moment in time where someone like that could be an uncompromising artist while also being on the radio all the time.
We started off in that moment in your dad's car, hearing Born in the USA for the first time. You've now, 40 years later, not only re-listened to it, but really dug deep into it for the new book. What does this album mean to you now?
It means a lot of things. I wrote 80,000 words on it. So 80,000 words of feelings about this record. I just feel like, you know, there's the personal significance of the record and just Bruce Springsteen in general, which I get into in the book, which I think a lot of people can probably relate to. I don't think my experience with him is all that unique. But in a broader sense, I do think that this record has a lot to say about the state of the country, how it's changed in the last 40 years. I think if you want to just think about like how music has changed in the last 40 years, this record is a good avenue for talking about that. You know, the reason I wanted to write about it is that along with being a great record, I just think there's a lot of richness to it, of the story and what it represents. And like I said, I wrote 80,000 words on it. So hopefully that bears out for the reader as much as it did for me, the person who wrote it.
Stephen, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Great. Thank you.
We've been looking back at Bruce Springsteen's album Born in the USA and its political relevance 40 years later with Appleton's own Stephen Hayden, music writer and author of the new book, There Was Nothing You Could Do, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA and the End of the Heartland. Is this an album that played a big role in your life? Love to hear from you. You could email wisconsintoday@wpr.org, or if not that album, which one? What was a pivotal album, maybe from your childhood or teen years or last week? Let us know. WisconsinToday@WPR.org. Love to hear your album stories.